was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. Then at last I finally knelt. Contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when he saved my soul.
Carefully, and then I want you to respond with faith. I'm going to preach this morning on why Satan hates the infallible Bible. Why Satan hates the infallible Bible. If you got a Bible that's not infallible, Satan doesn't care a lick about it. He has no hatred for it. But an infallible Bible is dangerous to the devil. Amen. And he hates this infallible book. Mark 4, you have a parable, and we'll just read a little of this parable, beginning with verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Now here's a sower. He's out in the field sowing seed. And as he sowed the seed, behind him are flocks of birds that are gathering up the seed that they cannot fall into the ground and germinate and come up. And so the whole process is defeated by the birds who are still in the seed. And then Jesus is asked, what did he mean? And he tells us that there's four parts of this story. I'm just reading one, verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sowed the word. Now the seed has become the Bible. The seed has become the word of God. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now I want you to hear those wonderful words. This is Jesus telling us about the sower, a parable, sowing seed. They want to know what it means, and he tells them what it means. The sower is a preacher with the word of God. And he's preaching, maybe just a lay person, but they're witnessing, and they're sharing the gospel. They're sowing the seed. But as soon as the seed is sown, here comes the devil, Satan. And the heart that heard the word is immediately stripped of it by Satan. He steals it. He immediately steals it. Now, if you want to know how important the Bible is, look at this parable. That Satan is so fearful of the word of God that anytime anybody hears the Bible, Satan is going to do his best to steal that seed. Amen. I've seen him do it. I've heard him do it. I've heard the excuses. I know how the devil cannot take a chance on you hearing that Bible and believing it. And he's always, always got some reason why you shouldn't believe what you just heard. And he steals the seed. Now, I want to preach this morning on why Satan hates the infallible word of God. First, I want to tell you before you're seated, the Bible is a mighty book. Are you listening to me? I don't think this world has any conscience today in this hour we live of how powerful the Bible is. In fact, I don't think most good people still remember how powerful this Bible is. This Bible is sheer dynamite. This Bible is sheer dynamite. This Bible is absolute TNT. I mean, this Bible is just so full of authority and power and glory and anointing. It's forever settled in heaven. It cannot be destroyed. Jesus said not a jot or a tittle of this Bible, of this book, can pass away until every bit of it be fulfilled. I mean, when you begin to think about the Bible, friend, you need to understand you are dealing with one awesome book. You're dealing with one awesome book. You may be seated. You may be seated. And I want to spend a moment with that word immediately. Immediately. You see, when you see this word immediately, you have to bring the devil into the focus of that. And you've got to bring Satan into the picture here. And you've got to just create a natural picture of natural people. Good people, maybe, sometimes doubtful people, sometimes just unbelievers, and they hear the Bible. And immediately, Satan doesn't wait until you get home. Right. Satan doesn't wait until the church service is concluded. I promise you, I will say something this morning, and some thought will enter your mind that makes that word I give to you and renders it no value and helpless and of no ability to work a miracle in your life. And I pray that you will just so listen and hear the word of the Lord. Now, the word is mighty. You understand that. And Satan hates it, and Satan fears it. Satan don't just hate it. Satan fears it. And before I finish preaching this morning, I'm going to tell you about the old devil's greatest tool, a weapon that he uses in the house of God. I mean, just one incredible tool. And you know, when you're thinking about the things, I call it the devil's great weapon, the devil's great maul, maybe would be a good word for it, that he mauls people with. Well, let's think about that as we move along. I want to preach now that we've got to learn and understand how much the devil hates the Bible and how he don't want you to believe it. He don't want you to hear it. He don't want you to get all tangled up in this book. Oh, he knows you get good and tangled up in this book, he's going to lose. I mean, he is going to lose. Now, go with me, if you would, to Psalms 107 and verse 20. I want to see, and there's so many of these in the Bible, no way I can get to all of them and preach this entire sermon. So let's just go to Psalms 107, verse 20. Let me read you something. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them. The word of God. He sent it to heal. He sent it to make you whole. He sent it to free you of your infirmity. He sent it to free you of that which is capturing you and even destroying your physical body. Now, I don't know whether you've been noticing this or not, but I've been noticing that the sickness, like I don't ever remember. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, half the people in the church, everywhere in families all over this country, calls are ringing, calls are coming, because there's so many sick people. There is infirmities and diseases and all kinds of infections that are attacking this generation of people here at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. He still has the power to heal them. Hallelujah. Now I know what one of the main arguments I faced this one this week. You tell somebody he wants to heal you and you'll hear immediately, but maybe it's not his will to heal me. I want to tell you something. That didn't come from God. That came from the enemy of your soul. Listen to me. If it's his will to save you, it's his will to heal you. I said, if it's his will to save you, it's his will to heal you. And there's nobody excluded from the promises of God in his Bible. Father, you cannot penknife this Bible and make it for some and not for others. That's Calvinism. When you say something is limited, you know, limited atonement or limited healing. Oh no, it don't even, you know what that is? That's a dead church's excuse for not having miracles. That's exactly what we give out because we're not seeing them healed. So we can't put the blame on God or on us. We got to put it on God. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to help me now. I can't be in a hurry this morning. I want you to be healed while I'm preaching. I want God to set you free because I want you to know it's God's will to heal every one of you. He didn't bring you into this world to kill you with a disease that came from the devil. He wants you to live until your fullness of days are over. And you know, the world has created a system where you got to find out what's wrong, that somebody died. You don't need something wrong to die. You just need to finish your days. When my days are over, I'm out of here. I want you to know something. I'm not going to wait for cancer to take me out. I'm going to go when my fullness of days has come. Time to be born and a time to die. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Well, he sent his word and healed them. Now, you can take that and apply it to every need of your life. He sent his word and saved you. He sent his word and sanctified you. He sent his word and filled you with the Holy Ghost. He sent his word and met your financial needs. He sent his word and healed your marital problems. He sent his word and healed whatever is a problem in your life. Now, you can only depend on him for you. You can't depend on him maybe for somebody else. But I'm telling you, he's a God that answers prayer, and he sent his word to meet your need. Hallelujah. The greatest thing you'll ever discover as a Christian is the power and authority of the Word of God. And we've got weak Christians who are just kind of pew warmers, and they're just hanging around and hanging on because they won't take this Bible serious and get in the middle of it and let this whole Bible take over their life. Hallelujah. I'm so glad when I got saved, the Bible took over my life. Hallelujah. It took complete control of me. How many want the Bible to be in perfect control of you? Would you raise your hand? Come on, raise it high. I want to see. Do you really want the Bible to have perfect control of you? Now, the only hindrance to that's got to be you. So all you got to do is let it. Oh, I tell you the truth. Hallelujah. Let the Bible take control of your life. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. The awesome power of the Word of God. The awesome power of the Word of God. He sent his word and healed me. He sent his word and made me whole. He sent his word and gave me a miracle. Now, you know, the Bible is so emphatic and it's so supernatural, and it's so mighty. And did you know something? Not one person can be saved without the Bible. If people get religion and they don't know what they got and why they got it and when it came and where it came from, they just got religion. But I want you to know, when you really get saved, you're saved because the Word of God took over your life. You're saved because you turned your life over to the Word of God. You're saved because you believe the Word. Now go with me to Romans, if you would, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's look at a great verse there that to me is just so beautiful. Chapter 10, and let's go to verse 13. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him who they've not heard?
Praise God.
And this is in my own favor a little bit. And how shall they hear without a preacher? There's never been a day when preachers are treated any more careless than today. And I'm going to be honest with you. The reason is because preachers themselves are so careless today. There is such a compromise, and preachers don't spend enough time on their faces. They don't live in this Bible. I'll never forget being at the bookstore. Sister Stiles, you're like this. I was at the bookstore back years ago when the Church of God had one here in Charlotte, and I was up looking around, and a preacher walked up to me and said, "Brother Chambers, I am desperate for sermons. Would you show me a good book I can get some good sermons out of?" I said, "Yeah. Oh, that was right down my alley." I said, "Come go with me." And we went over to the King James Bible rack. Hallelujah. And I took one of those King James Bibles and kind of shook it at him. And I said, "Let me tell you something, young man. You get this book in you and you read it until it takes complete control of your life. You dig in it. You learn it. You memorize it. You devour it. You make it your life. And I promise you, you'll have so many sermons, you'll never get them preached in all the days of your life." Here I am 57 years later, somewhere close maybe, maybe 47, because that was 10 years in my ministry. And I'm going to tell you, I cannot get all the sermons preached that I get in this Bible. I just don't have enough time or enough energy. I'm telling you, this book is one mighty book, and it's full of the grandest things you've ever heard. They're like treasures dug out of a gold mine. They're like diamonds dug out of a diamond mine. Hallelujah. What a book, what a book, what a book. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I'm telling you, I love the Holy Word of God. I love it. I love to preach it. I love to get into prophecy. I love the book of Revelation. I hear preachers all the time say, "I can't understand the book of Revelation." Well, you can't ever understand the book when you read it 15 minutes at a time every 3 weeks. You got to get in there and get on your face and stay there. Some of the greatest sermons I ever got was 2 o'clock in the morning or somewhere over the night, waiting on God, saying, "God, I got to have something from you. I want some meat for the saints. I want some gold for the treasury. I want some diamonds to give the believers. I want something rich and life changing." And I'm here to tell you, this book is that. It's that. It's everything you can say about it and much, much more. If I was the devil, I'd hate the Bible too.
That's right. Great God.
If I hated gold, I wouldn't love a gold mine. If I hated diamonds, I wouldn't love a diamond mine. If I hated the treasures of Fort Knox, I wouldn't drive all the way out there. Listen, if you want these treasures, you got to fall in love with them. They've got to become your life. You got to love them. I'm not a preacher. I'm a layperson. You can have God's treasures just as much as I can have God's treasures. Hallelujah. They're right in that book for you to mind them out. But you got to dig them out. You got to mind them out. You got to consider yourself a gold digger. You got to consider yourself a treasure hunter. Hallelujah. How many would like to be called a treasure hunter? A gold digger. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about gold and treasures. I'm talking about the Bible. Hallelujah. Digging out the Bible. Hallelujah. God wants to turn every one of you into a mighty saint of God with his power and his presence. Now, I got something I want to share with you. Please help me now. I don't want to take away your shout, But I want to tell you about a Bible that is the devil's Bible. Did you know that the devil has some Bibles today? I mean, he's got a bunch of them, really. But there's one that's really got big in church circles called the NIV. I started to do something kind of mischievous. I started to ask you, how many of you here have an NIV Bible? I'm not going to ask you, because I'm going to be on your case when I find out you are or have. That is, unless you put it on the shelf and marked it dangerous. If you got an NIV Bible and you want to keep it for reference, that's fine. Right in the front of it, dangerous, not to be believed. Okay? If you got an NIV Bible, right in the front of it, dangerous, not to be believed. Now, I'm going to show you something that's the only excuse you need. Go with me to Psalms division 12. I brought a Bible up here that has the NIV in it. This is a parallel. It has both the King James and the NIV. And I have it marked in my study for the radio broadcast. So when somebody calls and they take me on about being in the King James and not believing and loving the NIV Bible, did you know that is the Bible of most Pentecostal churches today? You find the Sunday school literature in almost every major church denomination, and it's the NIV Bible. It's the NIV Bible. And some of them will put the King James in the NIV until they get you convinced, and then they'll drop the King James, and it will just be the NIV. That's the way they do it. They measure you and get you there. Well, let me read you something in the book of Psalms, division 12. Now, you got to hear this, because I want you to take this home with you, and I want you to share it with other people. Verse 6 of the book of Psalms, division 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified 7 times. Now you got to hear that. The word of the Lord is a pure word, tried like silver in a fiery furnace, purified 7 times. Does anybody here know anything about purifying silver? You dig the ore out of the ground. You put this in a furnace of fire and heat it until everything melts, and the silver and the ingredients that are there in it with it, they separate. And so you got the silver here, maybe rise to the top probably, or maybe the other trash rises to the top. I'm not sure of that, but you separate them. Well, you've got now probably 97% pure silver, maybe 98. So you put it back in the fire again, and you purify it. And again, the metals, the ingredients that is not silver will come to the top or separate. And you do that 7 times. 7 times. And when you get down to the 7th time, you're going to have silver so pure that you cannot question its 100% ingredients of pure silver. I mean pure silver. Most of the time when you see silver on sale, they'll say something like 97% pure or 97 point something pure. Well, here he says the Bible is like a book, like silver that's been purified 7 times in a furnace. It is so pure. Well, you know, it's amazing to me, but the NIV actually agrees with that. Let me read what they say. And the word of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. They don't do bad at all. I mean, that's not the word of God. That's somebody's opinion. But it certainly is in keeping with what the Bible said. But where they really mess up is, how do we follow this up now? What do we say? Well, the King James Bible makes it very plain. You know what that book says? It says, well, my Bible got moved here. Sorry about that. It says very clearly, thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Somebody say forever. How long is forever? How long is forever? It's forever. He says, thou shalt preserve them and keep them forever. I don't know about you, but I'm living in forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I may look old enough to be forever. I don't know. But I'm living in forever. Hallelujah. From the day that the psalmist David spoke those words until now, the word of God has been kept pure. I don't believe that, Brother Chambers. Well, then you calling God a liar? How dare you? How dare you? I've got many friends who believe in the infallible Bible according to the initial manuscripts. But they say now you can't bring that all the way down till today because there's been too many translators. And so you have to say the Bible is infallible according and by or in the original manuscripts. But we don't have them. We don't have them. Nobody has one in original manuscript of the Bible. Nobody. We've got some old ones. I mean really old. But you don't have any originals. But he said, thou shalt preserve them forever. Hallelujah. Now look at what the NIV does with that, brother. Oh Lord, thou will keep us safe. What? Wait a minute. He wasn't talking about us. He was talking about the Bible. Oh Lord, thou will keep us safe and perfect us from such people like the NIV people. I'll just add that. Forever. Oh Lord, thou will keep us safe and protect us from evil. They changed the whole subject from the Bible to the people. And then try to make God know that he will keep them safe, but not with a perfect Bible. Well, I'm standing up here to tell you that the NIV is the devil's Bible. And don't be afraid to say it. And if they ask you, why did you say that? I can give you about 25 other things that you can use out it in it that are even as powerful as that. But that's the Bible. That's talking about the Holy Word of God. And I want you to raise your hand if you with me can say, God has preserved his word forever. God has preserved his word forever. I want you to know God has preserved his word. Now, I want to take you to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I want us to get a picture of something that I think will make a difference in your life. Hebrews 12. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11. Oh, I got 12, but Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I was just in Psalms 12 and I transferred that over. But Hebrews 11. I want you to listen to the first six verses and I want us to preach a minute and I want us to see something. Okay, are you ready? Let's read together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I want you to let your mind do a little twirling. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I've never heard somebody preach that they were not preaching about my and your faith. But that's not what the Bible is saying. That verse is talking about the faith. The faith. The Bible faith. The Word of God. This is the faith. And see, sometimes we don't grasp that. There is a difference in the faith and my faith. The faith is the Word of God. The faith is the truth of God. The faith is the eternal verities of this Holy Bible. That's the faith. That's the faith. Now, my faith is different, and I want my faith to be purer. But this faith he's talking about is the pure Word of the living God. The pure gospels of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he said it plain. Listen to it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Yeah. Now, the Bible is the substance of the things that you are hoping for. The Bible is the substance of the Christian walk that you are living in. The Bible is the substance of your divine healing. The Bible is the substance of your sanctification. The Bible is the substance of your walk with God. When you see this faith here as the Bible, then you understand that word. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I got news for you. This Bible is the ingredients of everything I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
This Bible is the ingredients of everything my faith represents.
Yeah.
This Bible is the ingredients of my healing.
Yeah.
This Bible is the ingredients of my future. This Bible is the substance of the things I hope for.
Yeah.
Now raise your Bible and let's get a good view of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, isn't it, brother? This Bible is the faith. It's not my faith that really counts. Does that make sense to you? So we're talking about the faith. And that's the substance of the things you're hoping for. As long as you're depending on your faith, if yours is like mine, one day it's up and the next day it's down. One day it's really great, the next day I have to fight with it. Oh, but this book, you don't have to fight with it. Do you hear me? This is the substance of the things hoped for. When the Holy Ghost spoke that to me last night, it turned me upside down. I mean, I've always thought of my faith as the substance of things hoped for. That wouldn't be much of that. I want mine to be the best. But here's the substance of the things hoped for right here. The faith. The Word of God. Now, if you let that leave you when you leave here this morning, it's the devil who stole it. Because if you'll get this book fixed in your mind, that it is the faith that is the substance that is all of your future and all of your hope and all of your joy. Hallelujah. Now I can shout when I'm sick, and I can shout when I'm well. Now I can be happy when I'm poor, and I can be happy when I got a little riches. Hallelujah. Now I can walk with God after 63 years and not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, because my Bible is the substance of the things I'm dependent on. If you believe that, stand up in the name of the Lord and claim this Bible as the substance of your hope. Claim this Bible as the substance of your future. Claim this Bible as all that you possess and all that you have. Claim this Bible. I tell you, I feel God's Holy Ghost in this place. Raise your hand and hold it up there a minute. God, if we can get a hold of this, we'll never be the same. God, if we can get a hold of this, we'll never be the same. The Bible is the substance of the things we're hoping for, not my faith. Hear me, saith the Lord. My Bible is forever settled in heaven. None of it can pass away. It's purified, pure, and flawless. And every word of it, you can bank your life on it, saith the Lord.
Yes, great God.
Hallelujah. Every word of it, you can bank your life on it, saith the Lord. Be thou healed, Mike Miller. Be thou healed, Mike Miller.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Be thou healed, Juanita Chambers. Be thy heel, Ruby Williams. Be thy heel, saints of God. The Bible is the substance of what you're depending on. You're not depending on my faith and your faith. You're depending on the Bible. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know how to do anything but shout right now. Hallelujah. 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 Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The faith. The Holy Bible. Hallelujah. How many believe that? Raise a hand way up high. No wonder he said he sent his word and healed us, Brother Marlon. No wonder he said he sent his word and sanctified us. Oh, it says that in John 7. We're sanctified by the truth. The word is truth. Hallelujah. That's the whole Bible. It's the truth. It's the word. It's the divine faith. It is the unfailing faith. Oh, hallelujah. You look like you want to shout. Please, everybody, just praise him a little bit. Praise him a little bit. Magnify him a little bit. What a God we serve. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God of power. What a God of victory. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now you've got some substance you can depend on, haven't you? Hallelujah. You don't have a faith that quivers. You don't have a faith that has to wrestle its way through dark nights. You don't have a faith that's got to find a way. No, but you got a Bible that's dependable. It's just as light in darkness as it is light in the sunshine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 He said, the contour of my voice in my heart. Oh, I think on Simmer, hallelujah. I feel his sweet Holy Ghost. Sister Chambers, he's healing you. Are you all right, Sister Chambers? Look up here at me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the substance of what you hope for, darling. Hallelujah. This is the healing of your leg and your knees. Hallelujah. Your feet. Hallelujah. This is everything you need. Holy God, brains of Alabama. I want to read on. Now, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. By what? The Bible. The Bible. Oh, do you get the message? Do you get the message? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to quit there. You read that when you get home. Hebrews 11. Read the whole chapter. But church, I'm here to tell you. God, you may be seated. God wants you to learn to live by this faith. God wants you to learn to live by this faith. The devil's sledgehammer. Now, I'm thinking, preach something that's going to get to somebody.
Come on, go ahead.
The devil's sledgehammer. How many of you like to know what the devil's sledgehammer is?
Right, God. Yeah.
Come on, raise your hand up high.
Yeah, go.
I'm thinking, give it to you. Independence. When you are independent of truth, of God's word, of convictions, of right and wrong. When you got to have your way, I want to tell you, almost every church split there's ever been was because somebody was so independent, nobody could tell them nothing. Every broken marriage there ever been was because somebody in that marriage was so independent, they didn't give a hoot what the wife or the husband thought. You can't find a problem in the human family that doesn't come because of this word independence. Or you could call it self-will. Or selfishness. Or living a life that pleases you and no interest and no care for nobody else. Now, I'm telling you, the church world is so full of independence. The church world is so full of people who are independent. They won't listen to God. They won't listen to the word. It used to be that a preacher was a very important person, and the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you in the Lord, for they watch for your soul. And I'm telling you, I watch for people's soul. But we live in a day where people don't want you to tell them when they're in danger. They don't want you to tell them when they're about to go the wrong direction. They don't want you to tell them nothing that might come against the grain of their own thinking. And I'm going to tell you, the devil loves independence. Now, if you're sitting there and you're so independent that your boss person can't tell you nothing, that you can't get along with your husband or wife, or you can't, just nothing. I mean, if somebody preaches something that crosses your line, you've got an excuse for it. Listen, that's the devil's sledgehammer. The whole thing is the opposition against eternal truth. That's what it is. That'll sit there. Hallelujah. Now the Lord has come to give us revival. I have no question about it. This church is on the verge of a Holy Ghost awakening. I see and I hear, and I'm around people, and I hear something different coming out of them. I hear something different beginning to waver in their minds. And I know that there's about a breaking to happen. I don't know whether it's going to be another 9/11. I don't know whether it's going to be some major nuclear explosion in some major city of America. It may just be the rapture. Because there'll be more folks saved after that rapture than any other period of human history. You better read Revelation 7, where it tells about that crowd that comes up out of the tribulation to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. A multitude that no man could number in 3.5 years after the rapture will come up out of this earth because they've gotten saved and they've been slaughtered and martyred and killed by the millions. They've been treated like dogs. They've been treated with the worst of treatment. But I got news for you. I just want a revival, and I really want it before the rapture. As much as I'd like to see the rapture, I'm waiting for a revival or the rapture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me both at the same time if that's okay with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is coming. Get this in your mind. Jesus is coming. It's at the door. And the faith, the word of God, man. Now just think. How much does the devil hate this word today? The Lee College Choir, where my girls went to school, that I respected highly many years ago, singing in the Vatican today, the same mass. I did everything I could this week, maybe hopefully to stop it, but I've not heard a word. I don't even think most of them care anymore. I think they're just so, they've made the transition into the new church, and they don't want to go back to the old church. Is that what you see? They've made their transition, and many of them are good people, but they've changed. And somebody like me, I'm just messing up their peace of mind. I'm just bothering their happiness and their self-content. Well, I'm here to tell you, we better be bothering somebody's self-content, because I'm telling you, this King is coming. And he isn't coming for people half-hearted and lazy, but on fire and full of the Holy Ghost. And this is the word that will set you on fire. Stand with me. You've got to hear me, saith the Lord. The hour is upon you. Darkness is descending. It's everywhere. Many are caught up in that darkness and can no longer see the light. But I'm calling you to be a people of the light. Live in the light of my word. Walk in the favors of my truth. Live clean and holy and pure before me, saith the Lord. Because I'm coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to go, stand up. If you want to go, stand up. If you want to go, stand up. If you want to go, stand up quickly. Oh, don't wait around. Stand up quickly. Do you really want to go? Do you really want to go? Do you really want to go? Do you really want to go, church? Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody in this building who's not saved, I'd run to this altar. I'd run to this altar. I'd come running down those aisles. Hallelujah. I'd come in Jesus' name. I don't know anybody here that might be unsaved. Maybe you are and I don't know it, but I want you in the altar, would you please? Everybody in this building to come, and let's stand before God, and let's come believing for the word of God, for this great truth. Pray for me and bless us, but everybody that can in this altar to pray, come to this altar. Men on the right, my right, ladies on my left. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come quickly. I wish every young person would...